Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, January the 16th, 16th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor for another term, Mark Lovelace.
Happy New Year.
It is official, right?
Yeah.
You showed up for the meeting?
Yeah.
Got all the words right?
Yeah, and I'm not sure what would happen if I, you know, just not managed to make it in that day for the swearing in. I guess that I'd have been, you know, out.
That sounds like me. Either show up early and leave late, or show up late and leave early. One of the. Oh, boy. This afternoon, we'll get a little bit of an update about the airport, the renaming. We've heard a little bit about that over the last couple of weeks or so. We'll find out what the current status is with that. Also, the general plan. Find out some of the different challenges that are there. And then, how do you get a more effective government? We all have our thoughts and our opinions. We'll find out what Marx has, since he and the gang have gotten together and done a little bit of communication skill sets development. Ooh, okay. A little kumbaya when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Larry Brown. Now, I'm not sure if this is Larry Brown, the basketball, Larry Brown, the football, or some other Larry Brown guy. Who knows? It just says Larry Brown. But here's the quote. Capital punishment is either an affront to humanity or a potential parking place. Oh, boy. So how the holidays treat you?
Good. Had a nice, pretty quiet Christmas and New Year's. Some family come into the area for a few days, and that was nice to see them. And
they fly in?
Drove up.
So yeah, I tried to segue smooth into the airport, and
I'm sorry,
you do what the rest of us do. Oh, certainly, there's potential with the airport, and everybody agrees to that one. Mark, do you see that there's much that we can actually do about the airport, to do about the flights not being canceled, to do about having carriers and capacity and price and all the stuff that everybody's always talking about?
There's things that are within our control and things that are outside our control. And one of them, strangely enough, that's outside of our control is SFO. You know, flights that go through SFO, if there's an airport that has more flights or a higher percentage of flights delayed or canceled due to fog than Humboldt, it's got to be SFO. And so to have, you know, almost all of our flights funneling through there, directly or indirectly, is, you know, not helpful. So we can't change the weather at SFO, but we can change whether or not we go through SFO, which is the reason that we've been trying to get a direct flight to LAX for few years now, ever since
the other guys left.
Yeah, since Alaska Horizon pulled out. We know that if I remember the figures offhand, something like 47% of all flights that go from Arcata to SFO continue on to LAX.
And so, as a destination or just as a routing?
As a destination of passengers that fly from Arcata to SFO are connecting to go to LAX. I was just talking with someone today. Well,
that would make sense, you know, with all the students.
Yeah. I was talking with someone today who does a lot of business down in the Los Angeles area, and weekly he drives down to Santa Rosa and takes a nonstop from there.
I'm hearing that either Santa Rosa or Medford.
Mm-hmm.
More and more, whether they're going through mm-hmm. Sacramento or going through Oakland,
mm-hmm.
that they're able to hook things up that way and avoid the SFO,
mm-hmm.
and as well as the highway robbery.
Yeah, so we can't control the weather at SFO. We can't control the scheduling and the work that's going on there, those kinds of things. But we can control, like I said, whether or not we go through SFO. That's what we're trying to address.
How familiar are you with some of the historical with the airport and the flights?
Depends on which historical piece
you're interested in. How far we're going. Okay, I'm not back to Republic or Air West, but when we had flights going to Portland,
mm-hmm.
what percentage of the load went that direction rather than through SFO and then use that as a springboard to the rest of the country?
I wouldn't be able to give you that figure offhand. Okay. I know that right now in the data, as we're continuing with our recruitment efforts for new airlines, Portland is in the mix as a possible destination. But because of its relative proximity, you know, it's a doable drive to go to drive to Portland instead of to fly. It kind of falls out of favor compared to Seattle. Seattle actually ends up being
it's probably a coin toss either way for us.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an hour drive between the two?
Yeah.
Okay.
And in terms of endpoint destination, there's probably a lot of people that would go to Portland, probably more people that would go from Humboldt County to Portland as a destination than would go on to Seattle.
But as far as a conduit into the rest of the country,
yeah,
SeaTac is going to be bigger than Portland. Yeah,
I don't know that it's going to be bigger, but it also gets into the airlines that we're talking with. Air travel and how they set their routes, there's a lot of complexity to it in terms of which airports they use as their hubs, which ones they choose to run through at all. And, you know, they look at it in terms of competition. They have ways that they structure their whole airline based around where they see gaps in other air service. And so, you know, I'm saying that knowing that one of the airlines that we've been talking with has Seattle as a hub. And so if we're talking with them, that becomes the place that we would want to talk to them about rather than going through Portland.
So, but as long as there are options, that's what we're all looking for, I think.
Yeah.
Or at least that's the sense that I have. What about the times of the flights? Is that something that's negotiable also?
Not really. Yeah, that's something that is, in any kind of agreement, you know, that really is left entirely up to the airline to handle. There are so many things that go into figuring flight times that it's really hard for us to impose anything other than beyond being able to say we want two flights a day or something like that.
KINS News and Information Times, 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. Nowadays it's cold outside, especially if you can't afford warm winter coats for your children. That's where Coats for the Cold comes in. This homegrown organization collects donated coats, cleans them, and distributes them to needy people. It began in 2008 when Robert Lone saw sharply reduced coat prices in a store, bought a batch, and donated them to the Eureka Rescue Mission. Beginning late in January, Coats for the Cold will give out over 1,000 coats in the county, now including southern communities. To donate a coat, new or lightly used, there are 50 Humboldt locations where you can drop it off this month. Find them on this website, coatsforthecold.org. That's coatsforthecold.org. Volunteers from Teen Challenge and other organizations will give out the coats to children. Your warm heart can keep them warm this winter. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. Mark, so with the airport, is there a way to, I guess, manage our expectations? You know, what is realistic for people to expect to fly in and out of Humboldt County and then build up off of that a formula that we can support? You know, if you got flights coming in at 10 mm-hmm. and 2 and 4 and 6, you're probably pretty safe. But the ones that you like to get on, the ones that I like to get on to get to the East Coast, either it's a drive down or it's a coin toss. And you just have to accept it and build that in. And mm-hmm. Or, you know, any thoughts on that?
Well, back to that thing of, you know, the things that we can control and the things that we can't control. You know, as a, for the county, as the public sector in it, we can provide the airport. We can provide certain incentives to try to attract air service. We can do those kinds of things. But the air service itself is private industry. And, you know, private industry will provide the service that the market will support. And so, you know, we don't have the ability to complain about air service, of a lack of air service that there's not adequate demand for to that degree.
In the past, certainly the airline industry was different. They've gone through a lot of permutations mm-hmm. and adjustments and whatnot. Is there any thought, how critical is an airport to a community? Or how critical is this airport to our community?
Well, it depends on who you ask. I know I hear from a lot of people that are saying, what's all this talk about the airport? I don't ever fly. It doesn't benefit me to have an airport here. You know, I drive out of here or, you know, do whatever. And a lot of people think that it's not essential. You know, they don't use it, so what's the big deal? And in reality, you know, it's an indispensable piece of our economic development infrastructure. We know that we are essentially, we're an island here, you know, on the north coast of California. We're divided from the rest of the state by, you know, uncertain roads. Anything that helps us stay connected is essential for our ability to do business outside of the area. And for a small economy, you know, everything depends upon our ability to bring money in. And that means that, you know, we have to have folks that are doing business outside of the area.
So is there any thought, or has there been any thought, or am I just blowing smoke, about taking something like the Headwaters Fund dollars and say, you know, and I don't know how you'd get to this point. If you've got a critical meeting somewhere, we'll help, we'll assist, we'll work with the airlines, either as an overnight at that first spot, you know, fly out of here. So maybe you're in San Francisco or maybe you're in Oakland, but you don't get nailed by the fog. Because for those flights that are East Coast, rather than putting an additional cost on people to try to use the airport and fly out a day early, and now they're looking at another, say, $150 to $250 on top of the premium pricing that we all have the opportunity to pay into. Would that be something that would have any validity?
That would be, not having heard that kind of idea floated out before, it seems like it would be a difficult thing to construct, to figure out a way that pays on a, you know, how do you determine whose flight is important enough to the community to pay for and whose isn't. So I think that, you know, trying to provide for service that can serve the community well, where, you know, that benefit is out there for anyone to utilize, I think is probably cleaner.
And I didn't think that that would fly anyway. But is there a way
Pun intended?
Yeah, absolutely. Good, bad, or indifferent, it's always intense.
Is there a good kind?
Yeah. Well, there's a less painful one. How's that? Is there a way for Headwaters or somebody to have the tower manned at nighttime for more hours so we don't get, I'm sure you've heard the anecdotal or maybe you've had the chance to experience it like I have, where it's clear as a bell and the flights aren't landing because there's nobody here to give them the official okie-dokie that it's clear and they can land?
There's a lot more to that than initially would appear. I've heard, as I've had conversations with folks on that, for one, there's constantly increasing technology involved. And for two, there's an aspect of it that I've heard relayed that I think probably difficult to get beyond the anecdotal on it, that airlines, when they have the call of whether or not to take off, depending on the ability to land, they have the ability to say, you know, it's a weather thing. If they have a flight that's barely full, they can make a business decision to go ahead and not take off because not worth it. You know,
so they'll just pull the plug blame the weather.
Well, if the weather is blamable when it's in the gray area, pun, you know.
You're following my lead.
Yeah. If it's within that zone where they potentially could land or potentially might not, I'm sure, you know, if anyone that's flown in probably had the experience of the pilot saying, we're not sure if we're going to be able to land when we get there. We'll have to see how the fog is at that moment. You know, they can, if there's fewer people on the flight, they're probably more likely to just say, you know, we're not going to risk it because it's, you know.
That's right. And if they don't have to cover the overnight charges,
yeah,
no harm, no foul.
And when it's because of the weather, they have, you know, they don't have to reimburse. So on the other hand, though, the other piece that's, there have been significant changes in technology, and there are some that some airlines are using, which will make a weather observer obsolete.
It's 3:30.
This is Fred Van Vleck, Eureka City Schools Superintendent. Exciting new things are happening in our district next year. Reducing our kinder through third grade class size to 23-1. Eliminating our combination classes and the reopening of Winship Middle School. Remember, we are the largest district on the North Coast, allowing us to have the most diverse course in extracurricular offerings. Enrollment is happening now through January 25th. Please stop by the district office across from Eureka High School or visit the website at eurekacityschools.org.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. Mark, you hearing anything at all about the general plan? Is it progressing? Did it also take a break during the holidays?
To the degree that we did, yeah. But we just, this past Monday, had a another crack at it at the board. And as you know, over the last few months, we've had a bunch of the interest groups, stakeholders, whatever you want to call them, that have been really 80% of all the comments have come from these, you know, five or six parties. And they've decided to try to work together to make their input less combative to us. Doesn't mean they're going to get to agreement on everything, but where they can, they'll present it, and where they can't, they'll say, here's two options, and we're okay with either of these. Even if not all of them are, but they've kind of agreed that, you know, they're not going to fight it out in that way.
Yeah, so they're taking the fight out to the street amongst themselves and then coming back in and providing a solution.
Yeah. My concern early on had been the not with the group doing this, because, you know, that's wonderful. I encourage and value having folks work together from differing sides. But my concern had been how our board might respond to it, and that we don't want to, in effect, be making that the public process, because, you know, 'cause it's not. It is a closed, invitation-only group working on it, and we need to make sure that we don't give it any more respect than we would other comments from the public. But as we've worked through this over the period of 2.5 months here, I think that it's settled into a good relationship with staff and with the board. To where now what we're getting is, from staff, we're getting something that has the Planning Commission recommendation, we're having this working group's recommendation, we're having staff's recommendation, you know, kind of, which might be, you know, we support this one or that one, or it might be we support modifying the group's recommendation in this way. And what we'll have coming forward, I'm hoping, after talking with staff at this last time, is to add into that another column for, yeah, other general public comments and their recommendations. And so we'll have something that captures all of it equally, and gives us a single thing to work off of, doesn't place any one above the other. And I think that will settle into a good program for us. The issue is going to be how much work this group wants to take on. They've been learning that there are no shortcuts when you work through something, a policy document like this. It's a lot of hard work, and it's taking them a lot of time.
Is there any viability or credence to the thought of doing element by element?
That's what we are. Oh,
just start accepting, adopting element by element. And granted, yeah, I mean, there are crossover things, sure.
Yeah.
But start to get some of this thing.
That's how we've been working through it. That's how the Planning Commission worked through it, how we started working through it, and how this group has now been working through it.
Formally adopt.
But we can't, you can't actually formally adopt, because the plan has to be cohesive, and there's things in one element that are dependent upon something in another element. And the the EIR is a single EIR for the whole thing.
And so that's enough to preclude being able to do modular.
But what, so we can, and plus the reality is that adopting one element while staff is still working on the rest of it means that, you know, they're not going to be freed up to be able to actually start to implement because they're still working on the rest of the general plan. So I don't know that it really would gain us anything even if we could do that. But
how about momentum?
Well,
three quarters of it's done. We're almost there, guys, instead of still getting.
Yeah, I over the last 4 years, I've tried a number of times to try to move the plan through faster. I've tried setting up a subcommittee of our board to work with the planning commission chair and co-chair to, or vice chair to try to figure out things that we can do to help them in their process, to help speed it up, whether it's providing direction or providing resources. We tried that a few different times. And we weren't able to find a way to successfully speed up the Planning Commission's work. But the hope had been that with that, with them spending 4 years on it, that we'd have a product that the board didn't feel the need to revisit every policy. And that's what staff brought us was, you know, here's all the stuff that the Planning Commission, after an exhaustive process, has agreed on unanimously or close to unanimously. And here's the things that they couldn't find agreement on. And that's what they called the short list that they brought to us. These are the only things that are left that are still considered really controversial. And that was all that we had brought to us to work on. But the board chose instead to add a lot of things to the short list and make it the not so short list. And then with this group, the work they're doing, it's been realistically by and large working on every policy line by line that we're going through it, or that they're going through it and that we're going through it. And so, you know, not to be negative or skeptical, but just looking at the history of what the board's been able to get done in the last 6 months since we had it come to us, we've only actually gotten completely through one element. We're about halfway through another element that's taken us 2.5 months at this point. And if something doesn't substantially change, just based on past history, I don't see any way that we get through this thing in anything less than another year. So I think that...
That means I win the bet with Virginia.
Well...
She's the one for this year, six-pack of soda.
Well, I tell you, I would hope to be wrong on this. I would love to be wildly wrong on this. But having fought that battle over the last 4 years of trying to speed it up, I'm perhaps being a little more pragmatic in what I put out there in terms of the timeline.
KINS, News and Information Times 342. Maybe she'll have that soda cooling down already, huh? Maybe not. We'll be back with more from Mark Lovelace.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 346. We're back to Talk Shop this very afternoon with Mark Lovelace. Mark, the new board, sort of. All the players are known factors, certainly. And you guys have known each other. Estelle's now, I think she's on next week or the following week. So she'll join the gang here. She's new.
Had two meetings with the board now.
Yeah, Rexy being... Mm-hmm. In on this term, mm-hmm. Do you sense this is going to be a cohesive group? Do you think it's going to be a functional, not unanimous? And I would hope no board was ever unanimous. But do you think it'll be a functional board?
I think so. Figuring out how we're all going to work together will take some time. Every board has its own dynamic to it, And, you know, the most important thing is that we all recognize that we're not here to serve, you know, any small subset of the county. I'm not here just to serve
voters.
Yeah, but I'm not
that's
here
a small subset.
But like, I'm not here only to serve, you know, those voters in my district that voted for me. You know, I'm here to serve my entire district and the county as a whole. And, you know, if we all adopt that and recognize that, you know, we've got we have our own constituencies that we have some reach with, and that we can, you know, that becomes an important way for us to figure out how we can work together. You know, as I'm looking at issues that are important to me, you know, there might be folks in my district that, you know, one of my other fellow supervisors might actually have some better, you know, a working relationship with that, you know, can help me on that. As someone else is working on an issue in their district, there might be something that I've got from, you know, experience or some background on that I can be helpful to them. If we get away from figuring out how does each of us succeed as an individual on the board, and figure out that how do we work as a team, that's what makes us stronger. That's what helps us function better.
Do you sense there are individuals, or do you sense that there's more unified?
Well, we're all, you know, of course we're all individuals, and how we act and how we function as individuals is something that, you know, is a product of all the years that have gone into each of our lives, and we probably aren't going to change that. We just had a board team building exercise last Friday to explore some of these things, and that was one of the points, is recognize that, you know, like in any relationship, if you're expecting your partner to change, probably not a good, you know, good point for the relationship. But if instead you figure out, okay, here's how I'm motivated, here's how I act on things, here's how they're motivated, you know, here's how they work, how do we work together? Rather than trying to change each other, you know, when I look at my own decision-making process and stuff, and I recognize I've got my strengths and I've got my weaknesses, someone else that is motivated differently than me, those things that they have that I don't have are their strengths. And so it's good for me. It makes, you know, makes it stronger when I figure out how to work with their strengths rather than treating those as weaknesses.
My big question is, did anybody fall on the floor?
No one fell on the floor. We didn't do trust falls, but we did have an actual group hug.
So, I'm sure Rexy was right in the middle of that one.
We had to make sure to get a picture, photographic evidence to prove that, you know,
absolutely,
this board can actually have a group hug. So, yeah.
So send that one out, will you?
Yeah, people are saying, no, no, must be Photoshop.
Thanks for coming by, Mark. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Don't think about making a good day. See you tomorrow.